Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
You know, it just wouldn't be right if we didn't have a song to start this out, would it? I think Christopher's on it right now. I'll get back to the song in a little bit as I go through this, but all I can say is God's got all the time we want. He'll spend all the time with us that we want to spend with Him. You know, when Chris asked me if I'd preach on Father's Day, I'm like, God, what am I going to do? So, unfortunately, my wife and I hear a lot of the same from God. So you're going to hear something about the bad dads to begin with here, so bear with me. They're almost the same ones that she mentioned. And it was funny because when I looked up and started searching, everything I came across said it's way easier to find a bad dad in the Bible than it is a good one. And I'm like, wow. But I also know that God knew all this was going to happen, and He used it all for good. Things usually turned around by the end of what was going on, but she's talking about like Abraham. He slept with the concubine, his wife's concubine, Sarah, because they weren't patient enough to wait for the promise that God had already told them He'd give them. And then He turns around and, like she said, sends them away, gives them a little water, gives them a little food, and sends them off in the desert. And that's all in Genesis 21:1-21. And there was Isaac, who played favorites with his children, favoring Esau over Jacob. And that created sibling rivalry, and Jacob stole Esau's birthright. I mean, it just kept going. And then you look at Jacob. His two sons, Simon and Levi, killed all the males in a town for revenge for their sister. And all Jacob did was say, oh, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Took all the wives, all the children. It's like, you know, that probably wasn't the right thing to do. It's like, come on. So those are all things that the bad ones, and I'm thinking there's got to be some good ones. And of course there is. I was very relieved when God showed me some of the good ones to put on there. In Luke 15:20, it says, and he rose and came to the Father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Now, I don't think you can find a better father than the father of the prodigal. He'd left. He took the money. He squandered it. He did it all. But what did his dad do? Had his arms wide open when he came back as soon as he saw him. Matter of fact, he ran to meet him and bring him in. Took the fattened calf, had this. I mean, he was wanting his son back. He wanted reconciliation. He wanted to love him. He still loved him. And he wanted to be around him and with him. Another one in Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, Noah not only was a good dad, but people had to think he was nuts. He's building an ark and there'd never even been rain on earth yet. They're like, what are you talking about? But he went through and did that. And took his family up there and became the father of so many. But in that process, he showed them faith, obedience, perseverance, integrity, hard work, and strength under adversity. I hope I showed my sons half that. But he showed it all by his actions and what he was doing. I'm sure at times they probably thought he was crazy too. What are you doing, Dad? What are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You heard from who? Huh. Dad's got voices in his head. The other one is, then Joseph, her husband, this is in Matthew 19 and 24, 1, 19 and 24. Husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. I mean, this was a time where ladies didn't get pregnant before they were married. And not only did he hide her, take care of her, he raised a child that wasn't his. Like it was his. Not any child either. This was the Savior that he was raising. And taught him everything that he knew. And actually, Jesus learned everything that his earthly father knew too. I mean, he became a carpenter. He became doing the stuff. So if you ask me, Joseph's got to be one of the, I mean, that'd be hard. After your wife comes and tells you, I'm pregnant. With who? Well, with the Spirit. What? You're what? Yeah, and then an angel shows up and says, oh, you're supposed to do this, 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 and you're like, okay. But he did, and he followed what they said and did it all. To me, that's a father that is just amazing. You know, when I started putting this together too, I watched the thing. It wasn't called anything, but it said that Father's Day ranks 20th in holidays. I didn't even know we had that many holidays. But the guy's talking about it, and he said, Mother's Day is second, Christmas is first, and Father's Day is 20th. He goes, there's even like Columbus Day is like 16th. And I'm like, wow. But how many fathers aren't fathers? How many fathers, if they were fathers, probably would get celebrated on Father's Day? It's something in this world right now that really needs to happen. Big time. Now, I had an amazing father growing up. Was he perfect? No. But are any of us? He was there. He supported me. He supported me lots of times, probably when he shouldn't have, but he did it out of love. There was things I did that probably weren't right, but he was right there and supported me through it. In a way, it was probably good because he let me see what I shouldn't have been doing. It came on me, not on him. But then he would explain and say, and I learned from him. I learned how to do construction. I learned how to do hard work. I learned how to... I sent him a card this year. And I said, Dad, you showed me how to be a dad. There's a big difference between a father and a dad. Any male of our species can father something, or most of them. But it takes somebody special to be a dad, to actually be a dad and spend your time with your kids and pour into your kids. And there was times that he, you know what? We have life. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. And I look back at my kids, and I love those four and the other three that I have now, the seven. And I'm sure there's times that I blew them off or blew off the handle, but it had nothing to do with them. And they didn't have a clue why I did it. Lots of times I try to remember to go back and apologize, but it's like, we aren't perfect. But as long as we keep showing them the love, our love and God's love, that's all we can do. Support them, encourage them. My four older boys, amazingly, seeing your kids as adults and seeing them succeeding, is the most amazing thing you can see. To see them actually succeeding in life. And I can tell you that they may not all go to church, and this may not be the right way, but when something happens that they can't handle, who do they turn to? They turn to God, because they know. They may fall away again, but it's there. The seeds were planted, and they know what that is. I had a conversation with my second son this morning about, he goes, "Hey, Dad, I didn't see," he goes, "Happy Father's Day, I didn't see the announcement, you know, about you going to Nicaragua till after you'd left." He goes, "I just wondering how that trip went." So I was telling him how good it was and everything. He goes, "Wow, that's amazing." And I said, "You know what? They want us to come back." And he goes, "Are you going?" I said, "Well, if God's willing, I will." And he's like, "That's even better, Dad." And I'm like, "Yes. Can they see that?" Whether they'll ever go on a mission trip, I don't know. I would love for them all to go on one. When I was younger, I was talking about my dad. When I was younger, we butted heads, like most teenagers and their fathers do. Maybe their mothers, maybe you never did, but I did. And the biggest thing I bumped heads with him was because people used to tell me how much I was like him. And I'm like, I don't want to be like him. I want to be me. And I had to come against that and cancel that curse because as I've grown older, I'm very glad that I'm like him. There's been times when I've sat and I've aged, was probably about 10 years ago, I wrote a poem. But one part of it is I looked down one day and I went, "Oh my God, I see my dad's hands. I see my dad's hands. All the work and the time that he put in to raise us, I could see in my hands from doing the same thing for my kids." And I'm like, "Wow, God, that is amazing." And even more as I get even older, I mannerisms I do and things, I mean, I'll catch myself going, "Oh my, you are just like your dad." Some of them are really good, some of them not so good, but it's like, oh, man. But I'm very thankful because he was somebody that, and my parents have been married for 66 years. They're 86 and 84. And it's just amazing to think that I was blessed to be a part of that. They live in a... You know, some people see a leader in me, and if it is, it's maybe come from God, but it's come from my dad too. They moved into a retirement home in the town where they graduated from high school, same place I did. And they're living in this place, and my dad's always got to be busy. My mom was actually worried when they moved in. They goes, "He's taking naps all the time." I'm like, "Well, he is 86. But she says, "Well, he just, it's like he doesn't want to do anything." Well, as it turns out, the yard guy that they had, the maintenance guy, left. They asked, he got in there and was talking to him before he left. He's refinishing the outdoor furniture now. He's working on the lawn. Mom's weeding the lawn and the garden, or the flowers. So they already are stepping into something that they've done their whole life. So they just fit right in. The other thing is, people assume that they're younger. They're older than most of the people there. And they don't use water. Dad says, "It's like a train. It's like a train of walkers when we go in to eat lunch. There's this big train." He goes, "And we don't have one." So that's a good thing. But that's part of what he showed me. And part he would have put in me was to do that. To be like him. And I know the sacrifice. You know, you don't notice it when you're young. The sacrifices that your parents go through for what you have. I mean, I was very grateful. There was times when Christmas was huge. There was times when Christmas was small. It depended on how things were going. But I can remember one of the best Christmases I had, we made everybody's gifts. We sat down. We did on Christmas Day each get a present from Santa. But we made presents for everybody in the family. Handmade presents. To me, that was amazing. And I still remember it. And the other thing I always remember is My dad made it to most of the stuff that we did. I mean, he was a manager, was in the retail and management for years, so he was able to take off sometimes and be able to come, but he made it to almost everything that we did. But one of the things I can remember is my dad, vivid memory is he'd sit like this with his hands across like this. And I remember being inside of his arms, swinging on his arms. I mean, I had to bend 4 or 5, but that is one of the most vivid memories I have of being right there. I mean, I can still smell his aftershave that he had on. So being a father is a big thing. Being a dad is something even more amazing. Now, as far as the song goes, I love that song, but it makes me remember my kids. That's why I get so emotional. But God will spend as much time with you as you want. He's never going to tell you, see you later, we'll have a good time later. He is there all the time. Anytime you want to go to him, he's going to be there waiting for you. He's not going to leave you and just say, oh, you know, whatever, you got it. And I can tell you, the closer we get to our Heavenly Father, the more we start to look like him too. And people get to see more of him. I've had people over the years tell me that my eyes, though, they can look in my eyes and they can see how kind and how peaceful and everything I am. And to me, that's a reflection of what God's put into me. That's him coming through my eyes. He's put that in me. That wasn't me that put that in there. And of course, I've had people tell me I look like Jesus, but that's more me trying to look like Jesus than him making me look like Jesus. The other thing is my heart, as you can tell, like they say, you wear your heart on your sleeve. That's pretty much how I am. I mean, my feelings, I can feel, I'm a feeler. I can feel things like you wouldn't believe, but I believe that's totally from God too. That's why my heart is the way it is. There's, and I was talking about God will never leave. There's at least 100 verses in the Bible, depending on what version you're looking at, that states he will never, either never fail us, never leave us, or never forsake us. I mean, I'm thinking 100 verses when he's telling you he's not going anywhere and he's going to be there is quite a bit. And that he's reassuring you that he's not going anywhere. He's going to be there for you, with you, through everything that you go through, if you allow him to do it. We have to let him in. Just like I was saying, he'll spend as much time with you as you want. But you have to engage and spend that time with him. You can't just say, oh, yeah, he's here. We're good. We're good. And the more you read the Bible and get into his presence, the more you're going to be like him. You can't just sit and say, oh, God's here, I'm good. You have to play the part too. He is good. But our part is to engage with him. One of the biggest ways to engage with him is reading his word. Get into his word. Spend some time, quiet time, worship time, and just spend some time with him. Let him hold you. Let him snuggle you. Let him. I mean, I've had dreams of climbing up onto his lap and just being there with him, his presence, just being loved on by him. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but as soon as Dennis started worshiping, I had every hair on my body stood up, and it's still from, I just feel his presence here today, like it's amazing. And I have an amazing wife who hears, and to be able to put, when the ladies come up, and I've told this, some of them this before, when they flag, it reminds me like they're just directing the angels in the heaven as they do that. They're bringing the angels in to wherever they need to go, whatever they need to be, just by the directions of the flags they're doing when they're doing it. And to me, that's awesome. That's a big part of it. I mean, they're coming, they're, okay, it's time to come in for landing. Come on, angels, we're right here. Bring them in. These guys need some angels. Let's bring them in. So that was awesome. And to have that part, because when we, my prayer when we started this morning was, this is yours, God. This is your worship. your house, your service, your sermon. Do with it what you want. And he has so far. He's pulled it together. Now, the word, when they talk about daddy in the Bible, lots of times they come up with Abba, Abba Father, which is translated. Let me read it. If I can read what this says. It says, I mean, he is the ultimate father. The name Abba is a colloquial form of address used by little children toward their fathers and is best translated as Papa or Daddy. And it notes a personal relationship. To me, a daddy is more personal than a saying father. So you're coming into him. Abba is only used three times in the Bible, in the New Testament. There's three places that it appears in there. One of them is in Mark 14:36, where Jesus is in the garden and he's saying, take this cup from me, but it's your will, not mine, Abba Father. He's saying, Daddy, I'll do this if you want me to, because that's what needs to be done, but can you take this from me? Daddy, I'm here. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm doing it, but it's not easy. But I know you're right there, and this is what I need to do. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. But Dad, I don't want to. Abba, Daddy, I don't want to do this. But I know that I will, because that's what needs to be done. Because it's your will, not mine. To be honest, I couldn't be a dad and watch that happen. But it had to happen for everything to come through. And then in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, both of those verses talk about sonship and adoption. Abba, our daddy, has adopted us. We can cry out, Abba, Daddy, we're here. We're his son. We're his daughter. We are adopted into his family like we were born in it. He's saying, yes, you're here. I'm adopting you. You're mine. You know, and a lot of the songs we were singing this morning, we don't ever collaborate on this, but I just love it how everything usually works out. All the songs he's talking about the love of the Father. And I mean, he's here. And he loves us so much. One of the things that I read, Jeremiah Johnson put this one out here. He says, unresolved father issues are the gateway to the orphan spirit. It thrives in the quicksand of rejection, abandonment, and abuse. It's like Michael was touched. I'm glad she did that activation before we started, because if you're having issues with your earthly father, sometimes it's hard to connect with the Heavenly Father. But you have to know that the Heavenly Father is the ultimate Father. That, like I said, never leaves, never fails, never rejects. He's there. Sometimes it's hard to make that connection when you haven't had that connection. And it's hard for me to talk about it, because I've had that connection with my earthly dad and my heavenly father. But to have Micah do that, because she has had problems, and to have her put that out there and to show what that is, to be able to work through that. Now, he's a father. He's a daddy. So he's going to discipline us. I mean, that's just part of being the dad. He's going to let you know when you're doing not what you're supposed to be doing. Just like when you tell your little baby not to touch the hot stove. I mean, he knows when you're going to burn. He also knows that you're going to do it before you do it. And he's still going to try and get you not to do it. But sometimes we do it anyway. But the thing is, he's still there and loves us through it all. Through everything that we do. So part of this was, my biggest thing with today was I wanted you to, it is Father's Day, but I'm doing it as the Father's Day. He is a father to all of us. And I was trying to think of a way to help us remind us every day what that is. So I started researching, trying to find something that you could carry with you, or you could have in your bookmark in your Bible with an emblem that shows the Father's love. Now what I found was the Celtics have a thing called the Father's Knot. And there's a keychain and a bookmark that I'll hand out to everybody. Actually, I'll have, where's Chris, can you put that up? That slide. I really looked into this because I didn't want to do anything. I mean, it's like Chris going, okay, what kind of juju's on this thing? I'm like, no. I mean, I really looked into it. I mean, it is the Celtic Christians lived outdoors and did a lot of their worship outdoors, but they didn't worship the outdoors. They worshiped God for everything that he'd given them in the outdoors. They worshiped him for the trees, for the ground, for everything that he'd put in. So in this, it's kind of hard to see. It's kind of overlaid there, but there's a heart overlaid and the symbols. But the acorn is the main shape, which shows strength and potential. The center knot is a force, which shows earth, wind, fire, and water, which we all have. If you were listening to Mark when he was here, we need to learn that we all have control of. Because the Father gave us control over the earth. So we control everything that's on here. And the heart part, where they show the heart, is the love of the Father. But it also hits the three points, which is the Trinity, which it doesn't say up there, which is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They totally worship Christ for what he did. So, I mean, I don't want anybody to think, well, why am I taking this thing? But I want to explain that, I mean, I have put the time into looking into this, but I wanted something. He's a keychain, has this emblem on it, and then the bookmark has the same thing that's up on the screen that you can put in your pocket, and you can reach in and go, oh, yeah, the Father loves me. You can have it in your car when you're driving. The Father loves me. When you're reading your Bible, you have the bookmark. The Father loves me. The Father loves me, and the Father's never going to stop loving me. He's always here. He's always with me. He never fails me. Now, you know, we always talk about him, but I think it's, you know, we talk about fathers not being fathers today, but I think it's time for some of us who have fathered our own kids to help father others too. In a mentorship way, in a father way, however you want to look at it, we need to step up. Father to the fatherless. Well, he's not just saying that because he is. He's saying that because he wants us to do the same thing. Right? He's in us. So it's something that he wants done, it's something he wants us to do. So we need to step into that and be the father to the fatherless. To be the mentor to the ones that don't have mentors. I spent my time, you know, coaching Little League, coaching basketball, coaching football. And to me, sometimes coaches can be the amazing thing in kids' lives. Show them a direction, show them a thing. You always pray that they're Christian. You don't always know for sure. But I always tried to treat all the kids like they were my kids. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't work because you want to discipline them and they don't want to be disciplined. But it's all about sharing the heart that's been put in you with the others around you. Sharing his love so completely and letting them know where it's coming from. It says, the Celtic Christians often worshipped outdoors and gathered around the cross. The circle, I don't know if you've ever seen a Celtic cross, but it has a circle on it. That circle is symbolic of never-ending eternity. that emphasizes the endlessness of God's love as shown through the Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So if somebody wants to help me here, take these and somebody can grab one of these. You want to do? Whoa. Take a key, one of each, for everybody, everybody. So I said, we're talking about Father God being the father of everybody. As far as I'm concerned, he's as much father of the daughters as he is the, and I tell you what, if it wasn't for my wife, a lot of things wouldn't get done. So, and I have to thank Anna and Micah for helping me put all these things together. I just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I was looking at these little emblems I wanted to do, and I'm looking on Amazon, I'm looking everywhere. Well, they make them all out of silver. So they're like $70 a piece. I went, well, that's a little more than I wanted to spend for everybody this weekend. So they came up with a way to make these like this, to put them together. And then she actually did most of the work putting them together. And then Anna and Micah worked on putting the bookmarks together too. Yes. We were worried we were going to go too long because Micah was doing communion today, but she held back a little bit this morning, so now we're early. See that? I told her, go ahead, babe. You do communion as long as you want. So my takeaway from all this that I want you to take away is to know that you're adopted. That he's adopted you. He's adopted every one of us. That he loves you completely, who you are, because he created you. That you are the one. And he doesn't play favorites like the dads in the Bible. He loves you just as much as he loves anybody, completely. And the other one is that he's always there. He's waiting for you to come to him. He's waiting for you to spend the time with him. I know there's a lot of us in here that already do that, but there's some of us that don't. And he's, even if you already are spending a lot of time with him, he's not going to tell you to leave. He's going to let you stay there as long as you want and spend as much time with you as he can. I mean, Tim was praying up here this morning about, you know, his dad and his bonus dad teaching him different things. But Tim, to me, shows you what a dad is. How many times has he been up here and told us all his adopted sons and daughters that he treats? They're his. He doesn't call them adopted. He doesn't call them step. He calls them his sons and daughters. Because that's who they are. That's just like the three that I have, Daniel, Ellie, and Alaysia. They're my kids. They don't call me dad. I'll tell you what, I don't love many different. They had Micah, of course, I'm sure she helped, but she picked out something for me for Father's Day. So when I got up this morning at 3 o'clock to finish putting the sermon together, I didn't get up at 2, I got up at 3. There was a package waiting for me on the table and a card. So I opened it up and Mike had wrote, you know, thank you for being a father figure to the kids. But each one of them had signed it. And Alaysia wrote, at the end of hers, says, I love you. And I'm like, I never expected that. But she said, thank you for supporting me in all the crazy ideas that I have. You always help me. You're always there. I'm like, isn't that what a dad's supposed to do? Daniel, even, you know, thank you for, one of the main thing is they're thanking me for loving their mom because they have a mom that is in so much better shape now than she was before. And there's somebody there to help her. She's not struggling to try and do it. But to have those three write in the card was priceless. And I didn't have to use my MasterCard either. Well, kind of. I guess I feed them, but other than that. So like I said, what I want you to take away from today is just that he loves you and he's there. And that he is a daddy. You know, the other thing it said when I was reading about Abba, one scholar, and everybody's got their opinions, but he says he doesn't really think people take Abba. It does mean dad. It doesn't mean a personal connection, but it's not like a daddy, your human daddy, because he's so much more than your human daddy. It's daddy, but it's daddy with respect because he can do anything. As good as my earthly dad was and is still, he can't do half, 1% of what Father God can do, right? So I got you, even if you have a great connection with your dad, Father God can do so much more for you than he can. But having that dad here definitely helps shape who you are. Oh. So anyway, he was saying about Abba, he says, you know, they say it's daddy or it's papa, but he says, I don't think it really emphasizes enough when people think of daddy as it should, because he's so much more than just a daddy. He is a daddy. He is a father. He's everything. I mean, there's so many times that if that father wasn't, I mean, my earthly dad would have just told me not to do it. But my heavenly father kept me safe when I did do it. There's so many things that I did that I probably shouldn't be here now. But he watched over me because he has a plan, just like he has a plan for every one of us. He's gifted you all with something. He's got plans for each one of you. And it's not just to sit around and do nothing. I mean, I look at Ben sitting there, that he's actually a father figure to the guys that are older than him at the house. Someone that can see what's going on and hear what's going on. I mean, we have so many of those like that. Jim does the same thing. Anybody carries the father's heart, it's Jim Kubiak. He's almost cries as easy as I do. And that's pretty hard. And you got John LaPointe, who's an amazing father. He had trouble with these kids, but he's reconciling with most of them now. But that didn't stop him from being fathers for everybody else. Heck, I look at him as a dad right now, a father figure. And Dennis, same way. He's not old enough to be my dad, but he carries the father's heart. And there's so many of us that carry that just need to show more of it. Tom, same way. You're full of the father. And that's a good thing. I mean, just look at the men around here and think, wow. And David, you've got his word in you that's just completely full. You just need to start spreading it more. I'm not sure how that works, but I'm sure he'll work on you. And I don't want to leave the women out, because they are needed just as much or more than we are. He's filled us all up. You know, this church may not be big, but that doesn't mean anything. We're going to touch a lot of people in a lot of area. I mean, we're already going out now, but there's going to be more stuff that goes out from here that touches. You know, we're doing the Great Commission. We're going to the lands that are far away. We're touching those, and they're going to do more and more of it. I know it's going to happen. I know there's going to be people that travel out of here that spread his word everywhere. But it starts here. It starts with his heart in us, flowing through us, putting everything out. Chris and Mika are off taking a trip camping, which is awesome for them to get away and spend some time. That's why we all have to step up and do our part, even when they're here. I think we have an amazing team here, an amazing bunch of people that are putting the time in and the effort in to put God's word out. Does it mean we can't do more? No. It means we need to keep doing more. But we keep setting the foundation and putting everybody forward with his love. Okay, now I'm just rambling. I just want to tell you that I love y'all. God loves y'all. And he's never going to fail. He's never going to leave. He's never going to forsake. He's always with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.